Welcome to American Variety Radio. I'm your host, Court Lewis. I like to eat. I bet a lot of you out there like to eat. And luckily, I'm an ectomorph, so all my life I've been able to eat everything I want, and I pretty much stay thin, which is a very lucky thing. And over the years, we've had a number of shows about food and cooking, in which we keep up with culinary trends and restaurant cooking styles, and even the culture and politics of food, ranging from things like the slow food movement not long ago to a show on the Southern Foodways Alliance, which was something I hadn't heard of before, which turned out to be very interesting. A while back, I had a guest on named Richard Rosendale, who was then the executive chef at the renowned Greenbrier Resort in White Sulphur Springs, West Virginia. And at that time, he was just back from competing as head of the U.S. team in the World Cup of Culinary Competitions. I mean, it's like the Daytona 500 of cooking, something called the Bocuse d'Or that's held every 2 years in France. And we talked about that. Since then, Richard has made a very big career shift. He's my guest again, and that's what we'll talk with him about today. Welcome, Chef Richard.
Thank you, Court.
Nice to have you on. So I see you've made the jump from fine dining restaurant head honcho to TV show host. Okay, so first, why don't you tell us about the new show?
Okay, well, great. Well, it's awesome to be here and looking forward to talking with you about the show today.
Yeah.
The show basically is, you know, one of the things is that a lot of families are eating maybe unhealthy, and a lot of them don't really know how to go and actually eat healthy. Well, what we do is we go in and we take a dish that has been in the family for maybe many generations, or maybe it's a family favorite, but the problem is that it's just loaded with fat, laden with calories. So what we'll do is we'll go and we'll take this dish and we'll kind of rehab it. It's called recipe rehab.
Mm-hmm.
And then myself and one other chef, we'll go in, we'll do a healthier, more easier version for the family to make at home. And then the family will actually take both recipes that we did, that we cook on the show live right in front of everybody. And basically, the family cooks it at home and they pick the dish that they like the best. And it's very exciting. And at the end of the show, the family comes up with a new rehabbed version of the dish that they can cook at home. And it's a healthier, easier version for them to make.
So it's kind of like a lot of the cooking competition shows on TV, some of which strike me as silly, you know, eight people who are desperately hoping to win the thing, and they're kind of pathetic in a way. And,
yeah.
And it's cooking, which should be a fun, nice thing. And instead, it's got this, you know, adrenaline, heart racing aspect to it, which seems kind of a phony overlay. But yours sounds more, I don't know, user-friendly or viewer-friendly, too, or something, and it's basically a positive thing. What network is it on, for one thing?
It's actually on nationwide. It's on CBS mm-hmm. on Saturdays, right before Jamie Oliver's show. CBS has made an initiative to try to provide more educational, better quality television for families on Saturday mornings. And, you know, I've done all these amazing cooking competitions over the years, the Bocuse d'Or, Culinary Olympics. I've cooked all over the world. And I wanted to do something that was going to have some purpose and something that was going to be helpful for people today, a topic that is relevant to everyone. Everybody wants to eat right and live longer. So I wanted to try to put all of the tools that I've learned over the years towards something that was actually going to make a difference. And I have two little boys and another baby on the way with my wife. So eating healthier is something that's obviously close to my heart as well.
Well, that sounds, again, very positive and kind of a positive social aspect that you've got to the show. And maybe we'll get into that in a little more detail later on. But so you said it's right before Jamie Oliver's show. And I think he had a show called The Naked Chef that was very famous and could still be. Is it called that or is it something else now?
No, Jamie's, I believe, is 15-minute meals. And it's a great show. And you can see that CBS has really taken a serious commitment toward putting some better television on Saturdays.
That's great. So on CBS, and it's called Recipe Rehab. Now, the funny thing is, when I think of TV cooking shows, I think of the Food Network or the Cooking Channel. Is this a new departure for CBS? I wasn't aware of them as being, you know, a network that had a cooking component to their lineup. Is it a new thing for them?
Well, I think so. I mean, in some respects, the whole initiative is called CBS Dream Team. And though they're not a cooking channel, you know, everybody loves to cook, and the bigger part of it is they're trying to put educational, better quality television for families and younger people on Saturday mornings.
Good.
Cooking is a big part of that.
So why don't you give us a couple of examples of some recipe rehabs that you've done on the show?
Oh, wow, Court. I'll tell you, some of the dishes have not been easy to rehab, let me tell you. We've done everything from chocolate cake to tamales, you know, shepherd's pie. The one thing that's always consistent is they are just overloaded with calories. People don't even realize what they're eating many times. So an example of one of the harder ones for me was chocolate cake. So this family had all kinds of fat, and we all love fat and sugar. But one of the things I did is I tried to find more natural sugar. So I switched out the sugar in the recipe for ripe bananas. And then for the fat, I actually used some avocado instead of a shortening. And the cake won. The family loved the recipe.
What's your favorite one so far? Is there one that really stands out in your mind as being something that was so exotic that it was really tough to deal with and you came up with this brilliant solution to it, or just one that turned out really good, or what?
You know, one of the ones that I really liked was actually probably another sweet, was actually soda cake. Soda cakes years ago used to be made with all sorts of sodas that were really sweet. And what I did is I used San Pellegrino limonata soda. And I put some blueberries into the cake, and I baked it in a cast iron skillet, kind of a nod to my grandmother. And the family loved it. I loved it. And it kind of just showed that you can have healthy, great-tasting food, and it doesn't always have to be not good for you. It doesn't have to be like that.
Do you go on site with the family, or do you just do it remotely from your studio kitchen and then take it to them, or how does that work logistically?
Well, we don't actually go to the family's houses. We'll actually film all of the shows in Los Angeles in a studio. And then separately, the crew will go out to the family's houses and let them cook both of the recipes in their home.
Oh, okay, got it. Do you get the recipe in advance, or does it come to you just like, boom, here it is, start?
Good point. Well, though the show, obviously when you're watching it, it looks like it's really fast-paced. And listen, it is fast-paced. I mean, we're on the clock and we're cooking these recipes. But we do know what the recipes are ahead of time, and we get an opportunity, not very long, but we get a little bit of time to kind of look at them and come up with what our game plan is going to be.
Sure, you'd have to, because otherwise you'd need ingredients that you don't happen to have sitting there on the shelf or in the refrigerator, so it's got to be a little bit of planning time to it.
Yeah, and listen, you know, you're trying to slash sodium and calories, and some of the families, to even compound the challenges, some of the families are maybe gluten-free or, you know, maybe they have high blood pressure. So you have to factor all of that stuff in as well when you're coming up with a better recipe for them.
You're listening to American Variety Radio. I'm your host, Court Lewis. We're talking with Chef Richard Rosendale, who is the co-host of a TV show called Recipe Rehab on CBS. And I've seen a couple of the shows, Rich, and the ones I saw involve people calling in with questions about food and cooking. They weren't the family format that you describe, and I'm sure those are some of the shows, but the format must vary some across the season, right?
Yes, that's a good point, Court. And actually, there are two shows toward the end. Actually, they're the last two shows of the season where they will highlight the chef. And Vicky Krinsky, who's my partner on the show, she has her own show where she does demos, takes questions, talks about her background. And I do the same thing. Naturally, they showed footage from the Bocuse d'Or, and they talked about my competition experience, MasterChef, all of this. And they even showed pictures of my grandparents who inspired me to cook, and my wife. So the show varies a little bit, but most of the season is the same.
And I tell you, it's such a departure from serving five-star cuisine to a well-heeled clientele at the Greenbrier to reimagining middle-class food for families, for average people, and going from running a kitchen behind the scenes to being on TV. So that's a huge jump. Is it a big adjustment to make?
That's a great point, Court. And, you know, I mean, I oversaw 13 kitchens at the Greenbrier. We had our own farm there. And, of course, competing in some of the world's most challenging, grueling cooking competitions. You know, I'm on the other side of the spectrum right now. But I've got two little kids right now, and I wanted to do something that was going to be more meaningful, more relevant to most people. But there's no doubt that it's a different animal altogether.
I mean, you'd been on TV here and there before. I know the Bocuse d'Or competition is televised all around the world, for example, and I'm sure you'd been on interviews and this kind of thing. But had you ever been on TV for any stretch as a host, you know, with a talking part, so to speak?
Well, you know, I have been on several Food Network shows. I was a judge on Throwdown with Bobby Flay. I was on The Making of Team USA. I've been on a lot of shows over the years, but certainly not in this capacity. I mean, when it's all said and done with this season and next season, I mean, it'll be over 50 consecutive weeks on the show on CBS. So when it's all said and done, this will be a lot more exposure, very different for me than what I've done in the past, but I'm really enjoying it.
So you mentioned that part of what drove you to make the change is wanting to be with your family more, but I have to say that I know you still travel the world as a guest chef for royalty and other events. I know that when I first contacted you, you were on your way to Dubai or somewhere to cook for the royal family there, and you have to go out, as you mentioned, to LA to shoot the series. So don't those things take you away from the family as much, or maybe even more sometimes than your old job did as a chef who worked around the clock, but who lived nearby, presumably, anyway?
You know, from the outside looking in, most people would probably think that I'm not with my family as much anymore. But honestly, you know, I was able to cook Thanksgiving Day dinner for the family, you know, and Christmas, spend the holidays with them. And I do still travel extensively, but I am spending more time with my family than I ever have. And at the end of the day, I mean, that's something that was an important factor for me for changing the conditions of my career. So, yeah, it has been a lot different, but I'm spending a lot more time with my family now for sure.
So you mentioned, Rich, that you wanted to present a show that really focused on eating healthier and preparing food in a more healthy way using better ingredients and so on. So it's kind of in general, you're getting into social issues there. So what do you kind of hope to address in a higher level of thinking with the show that maybe you don't address directly during the show, but that's the underlying purpose of it? You know, things like obesity and so on. I mean, talk a little bit about some of that.
Yeah, great question. Over the years, I mean, a lot of the cooking competitions, you know, at the end of the finish line, you know, there's a medal and accolades, and that stuff's all great. But truly, I was trying to invest in my skills. Now that I've been able to really kind of develop all these great skills and experiences, I want to put them towards something that's important, that's going to be relevant to the masses. And these days, with the insurance, how insurance is changing, with healthcare, my wife works for Anthem, and you know, you get points back for having a healthier diet. So it's no doubt that it's beginning to impact people's lives. As a chef, I feel like I have an obligation, and I certainly have the tools to be able to do something that's meaningful to the average person, not just the people that are, you know, the clientele that can afford to taste my food. I want to do things that makes it more approachable and meaningful to more Americans. I mean, you know, I think most people want to eat right and live longer. And I want to try to help contribute to that so that that can be a reality for more people and help them eat right.
Yeah, it's a cliche to say that it's an epidemic, obesity in this country, and just in general, poor nutrition and people eating the wrong things because it's fast and cheap and easy to do. And so you're contributing to that. And TV, I guess, really is the only way to do that. I mean, the internet to some extent, but people watch a lot of TV, and the couch potatoes watch TV. So it's and I think your show is aimed at younger people too, a little bit. There's something called Everyday Health that seems to be the framework in which the show is cast. What is Everyday Health?
Well, Everyday Health is kind of they're a sponsor for the show, and I work very closely with them with a lot of the social media initiatives. But they've really had a great strategy as far as going out there into the country and trying to get people to eat healthier. I mean, if you just put a plate of food that someone doesn't understand and we say it's healthy, are they really going to eat it? But to go and show them how to make their chocolate cake healthier, you know, Everyday Health gets that. And I work very closely with them on coming up with recipes and coming up with just general tips that help educate the public so that they can cook healthier at home.
You are listening to American Variety Radio. I'm your host, Court Lewis. We're talking with Chef Richard Rosendale, who's the co-host of a show on CBS called Recipe Rehab that focuses on basically demonstrating to families how to turn their old traditional family recipe that was an artery clogger and not healthy at all into something equally or more delicious that's also healthy. So it's kind of a new twist on cooking shows, really, on TV. So, Rich, what are some of the basic rules of good food and healthy food preparation for average people that aren't, you know, expensive, that don't involve going to gourmet food providers and buying really expensive things, you know? What are some simple things that people can do?
Well, a couple of general tips is, one of the things I always do is I'll look at a recipe and see if there are some easy swap outs I can do. So instead of using like refined sugar, I'll go with more natural sweetener alternatives, such as honey, maple syrup, ripe mashed bananas, agave nectar. Those are all great sweeteners, and they're natural. Another one is maybe switching out fats. You know, I'll use avocado or I'll use coconut oil. There's a lot of other healthier fats out there that you can use. And another one, Court, is also just portion control. You know, it doesn't mean that you cannot ever have bacon in the morning. Just don't eat the whole pack.
Right.
So, you know, just really trying to give people just general principles on how they can go about cooking and eating right. And it also starts at the grocery store. I try to do most of my shopping around the perimeter of the grocery store where a lot of your perishables are, like your produce and your dairy. And be careful spending too much time in the center of the grocery store where a lot of that food has a longer shelf life than you do. You got to be careful about that.
What about meats? I mean, you know, we hear that red meat is bad, and you mentioned bacon. I mean, I love bacon. Everybody loves bacon, but, you know, when I cook it, and I try not to eat it as much as I used to, but when I cook it crisper than I used to, almost to the point of burned, and then I drain it and press on it and try to get the fat out. You know, so there's a food preparation thing that I do that I suppose is better for you. But as far as meats in general, you know, we eat more chicken, pork, and seafood, and really try to eat salmon once a week. I mean, so what do you think about red meat and that kind of thing, and meat in general?
Great question. Well, I'm here in West Virginia right now, so venison comes to mind as being a healthy alternative. But for most of the people out there that maybe don't have access to something like venison, buffalo is a great substitute for beef. It's a lot leaner, lower in cholesterol. Also, a lot of recipes where you typically would use beef, you can also switch out and use turkey. Mm. Turkey burgers, turkey tacos. You know, I made my wife last night a recipe that typically I would use beef for, and I used some ground lean chicken for it, and she thought it was delicious. It was some rice noodles and almost kind of like a stir fry. So moderation and looking at other alternative proteins and swapping out some of the ingredients is a great place to start.
Even on chicken, you can get the skinless variety, and when you have a pork chop, you can cut off the fat from around the edge and things like that, you know, just that are a little obvious.
Absolutely. And actually, Court, one of the recipe challenges we had was this family had a really heavy fried pork chop. And one of the first things I did is I got rid of that pork chop and I gave them a tenderloin instead. And I did a nice rub with some paprika and a little bit of salt and grilled it, and they loved it.
Do you try to keep the recipe that you rehab and swap out to be not more expensive than what they were doing before? Or is it sometimes inevitably a little more expensive? Or how does that run?
Well, that's a good question. Well, you know, economy is not necessarily a huge factor with the show. We're not so much concerned about trying to get ingredients that are inexpensive. But I think as a good rule of thumb, you don't want to go and try to use ingredients that are going to be maybe hard to find or really expensive. I do try to factor that in because I think most families, that's, you know, your grocery bill is a big factor. So, sure, we do try to factor that in.
Because you mentioned buffalo, and I don't know, you don't see that normally in your standard food chain store, at least yet, as far as I know, but maybe
well,
you do some places.
You'd be surprised, but you know, I'm here in West Virginia, and I know the local grocery store actually has bison. They're small packs. Hmm. They're usually over by the probably more premium meats, but a little bit goes a long way. But you'd be surprised in a lot of your nicer grocery stores, and actually even kind of your mid-level grocery stores, you surely can find bison and buffalo meat.
Rich, in the shows I've seen, two shows, a lot of really young people, even teenagers, were calling in to ask questions, and they had good questions, and they seemed to be really into cooking. Is there a growing interest among young kids, I mean teenage through early 20s, let's say, in cooking, or was that just some quirky subgroup who calls in?
No, I think there is, and I'll tell you, it's really exciting for me kind of being on a show where I'm interacting with young people and families, and the kids ask some really good questions. And of course, right after us, there's a show with Jamie Oliver. So I definitely think that you're seeing an interest, kind of a movement in younger people to want to know where their food comes from and to want to eat healthier. So, and the kids ask some really good questions.
Well, that's great. I hope that's a real trend and that everybody isn't going to be trying to live on fast food from now on. So that's a good thing in itself if it's the case.
Sometimes, Court, with some of the shows, it can be a bit of a challenge whenever I present a dish and Vicky presents a dish, and maybe there's like a few kids in a family that do not like tomatoes. Mm. I know whenever they start off with that, or they start off with they hate fruit and I use tomatoes or fruit in my recipe, I'm probably not going to, I don't have a good chance of winning that battle, but it's definitely opening up a lot of younger people to a lot of different ingredients that they don't typically eat, like fresh produce.
If you know there are kids in the family, and there usually would be, Are there things you definitely stay away from? I mean, do you try to stay away from broccoli, for example, or asparagus or things like that?
No, you know, I really am trying to not hold back on worrying so much about, you know, picky eaters. I'm really trying to introduce a lot of these things in a different way. And if you can kind of add a dish, let's just say something like shepherd's pie, if you can add some fresh produce into a dish that they've been eating for years, only maybe they've been making it with canned corn and no other vegetables in there, they're more likely to eat it, because that's the great concept about the show. You're using the dishes that they've been eating for years as a vehicle to introduce health into their diet.
You mentioned you're a certified master chef, so I'm curious, what's your own background as a chef? I mean, did you go to sort of, you know, the Harvard of cooking schools? I mean, how did you get started, and how did you develop to the point where you are?
Well, I actually did 2 3-year apprenticeship programs, and I was certified at the Culinary Institute of America. I took an 8-day rigorous 130-hour cooking exam, and it was probably one of the most challenging competitions of my life. Also, of course, I've done over 55 national and international cooking competitions. So, I mean, I have some pretty extensive training. I did own my own restaurants in Columbus, Ohio for a few years. And of course, overseeing the Greenbrier, where I oversaw over 300 people there. You know, I have a lot of experience for sure.
I think I remember that you worked at a restaurant in Napa Valley called the French Laundry at one point, which doesn't sound like a fine dining establishment, but absolutely is. It's always been ranked as one of the top 2 or 3 restaurants in the country, run by a guy named Thomas Keller, who's one of the most famous chefs in the world, certainly in America, maybe the most, you know. So when was that?
Well, part of my training was actually, on two occasions, was actually, and they were both affiliated with Bocuse d'Or, part of my training was at the French Laundry. I got certified in sous vide cooking out there. Which is a type of cooking where you cook food in a vacuum bag, which actually is also very healthy. And then also the second time that I was out there training was actually whenever I did the Bocuse d'Or. I actually stayed in the Bocuse d'Or training facility, which is right next door to the French Laundry. It used to be Thomas's father's house. Mm. And that's where I stayed and, you know, continued my training. So getting involved in these kinds of events over the years has helped me really rub shoulders and get mentors from all around the country of some of the finest chefs in the world. So now to take that training and apply that to the masses, to the average person, I think that's a great thing. I think that's an exciting story.
Mm-hmm. And staying on this theme of having young people be interested in cooking and cooking better and more healthy, did you know at an early age that you wanted to be a chef? I mean, you know, at 6 years old, did you watch your mother cooking and go, that's what I want to do? I mean, was it some kind of, you know, Satori kind of a thing where you suddenly realized, or how did you evolve into being a chef at an early age like that?
You know, when I was younger, I was fickle in my interest. You know, I would start baseball, I'd start different things and kind of lose interest. But I didn't realize it at the time, but I had two grandmothers that were great cooks, like many people. One was Italian, one was German, and they really nurtured my love for cooking at a very early age. And I just loved to eat their food. I was fascinated watching them cook. I would even get involved shucking peas on the front porch in Somerset County with my grandmother, or making, you know, pasta sauce with my nana, who was the Italian grandmother. Hmm. And when I finally had to decide what I wanted to do for the rest of my life, I decided I was going to cook.
Hmm. Did they let you help cook, or just you were the low guy in the kitchen and chucking peas?
they did kind of get me involved. And I think that was kind of, I think that's probably one of the things that's kind of missing in our culture today is, you know, food conjures up so many wonderful memories for people. And I think the more we can kind of encourage young people to get back into the kitchen, to continue with that tradition of cooking, even if it's just maybe one day a week, I think it really can do some pretty impactful things for the rest of your life. But you got to start at an early age. I mean, I know those memories have stayed with me to this day, and they really have kind of changed the trajectory of my life to go into the profession of cooking.
Hmm. Yeah, I can believe it. It happens. I mean, I remember both my mother and my grandmother getting all of my two brothers and I involved in cooking at different stages, and you know, and I think we can all cook to some extent. I do, you know, pretty well at it. And that started back then thinking, oh, this isn't just a girl thing. It's something, you know, that a guy can do. And
right.
So you mentioned earlier that you'd cook Thanksgiving dinner, and that obviously you do some of the cooking at your house. Is your wife lucky enough to have you do all the cooking, or do you share that switch off?
I cook every day for my wife, my family. My wife does not cook. She eats, but that was kind of part of the deal. We've been together since the seventh grade, and she has enjoyed many meals, lunch and dinner included.
Wow, lucky girl, especially when you come home from running all those kitchens at the Greenbrier and have to do that. Okay, well, we won't go into that. She's probably listening to the show. So, so when you do cook for the family, then what's your preferred style of cooking? I mean, do you range across the board? Obviously, you're qualified and capable of doing that, but or is there kind of a zone you sort of stay in? And what do you enjoy most, and what do they enjoy most?
You know, I think probably just because of my Italian background, I kind of lean more toward Italian with some doses of German. But I think Italian is probably my favorite. But I will tell you, as an American chef growing up in the United States, you are exposed to so many different types of cuisines. So I love any kind of iconic international dishes. I love making choucroute, which is with sauerkraut and sausages. I love to do tacos. I love to cook out on the grill. And my wife is fortunate to enjoy, if I'm kind of working on maybe a healthy concept or a healthy recipe, I'll let her taste it. Yesterday, I came up with a whipped cream substitute by basically just taking coconut milk that you get in the can, putting it in the refrigerator overnight, and then scooping off the coconut fat, whipping that up and flavoring it with a little bit of vanilla extract and a little bit of maple syrup, and it was delicious.
Well, you are a little bit above my level where I'm, flipping burgers or maybe some steaks on the grill and sweet potato and green beans or something like that.
Nothing wrong with that.
Or the bread or sauerkraut my wife has made, and she's a good cook, excellent cook, and makes things too, so like that. But do you strive for, I assume you do, for local and seasonal ingredients? You're not eating things out of a can, obviously.
No, I mean, I really think one of the best ways that people can start eating healthy is buying and eating more produce. I was so passionate about it at the Greenbrier that I launched the initiative at the Greenbrier to start the 44-acre produce farm. And we were providing 75-80% of all the produce for the entire hotel. I mean, there is nowhere a hotel that size that was doing their own produce. Now, it was a little bit overwhelming at times with the volume of cucumbers and tomatoes we were getting. Mm. But I think that it kind of helped show the clientele that we were serious about providing them locally sourced food.
Rich, we just have a minute or so left in the show, but what's the most important thing for an ambitious young chef today to get certified training through a really reputable training program where they go to school and pay a tuition, or on-the-job experience in the right place, or some mix? What do you think?
I think my tip would be to be patient with your career. Sometimes in your profession, slow is actually fast. And if you learn the basics, you're going to be successful, but build a strong foundation.
Well, Rich, we are out of time. This has been interesting and fascinating, and I hope useful to everybody out there. Just go ahead and Google Recipe Rehab, R-E-H-A-B, to find out more about the show and find lots of recipes and food tips online there, too. I want to thank you so much for being on with us, Rich.
It's my pleasure, Court. Thank you.
And thanks to all of you out there for listening. I hope you'll tune in again next week, same time, same place, for more American Variety Radio.